Well, good morning. It's great to be with you this morning and to preach on justice. Let me pray. Lord God of justice, stir us and shape us to be agents of justice in this world. Amen. Some of the greatest speeches of the last century have been pleas for social justice. Think of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, which spurred on the American civil rights movement to fight to end racial discrimination. Or think of Malala Yousafzai and her address to the United Nations on her 16th birthday, advocating for girls' rights and education, having survived an attack by the Taliban. Wherever there is injustice, people raise their voices because they have a gut-level longing for justice. And here in Australia, there are persistent issues of social and economic injustice that charity organisations like Mission Australia grapple with daily. Family violence, homelessness, affordable housing, drug and alcohol dependency, mental health. And we also see issues like crime and access to education, environmental issues, tax policy, government intrusion into religious practice and moral issues. These all raise questions of justice. And so today, if you'll excuse the pun, I want to cross-examine the idea of justice and consider why justice is elusive, what the Bible has to say about justice, and why change in the realm of justice begins with us. We live in a world where we long for justice, and yet it is elusive. In the working world, despite Fair Work legislation, there are companies who discriminate in their selection processes, some using AI algorithms or techniques to weed out people who don't fit the mold they're looking for. There's workplace harassment and bullying, bosses who give promotions or the best shifts to their mates rather than those who are actually good at the job. There's job insecurity, especially if you're a casual or an older worker. And these are just local issues that I've heard about in the last couple of weeks from people at St Alfred's and St Luke's. At university, I studied law, the discipline set up to achieve justice for victims of crime or negligence or theft or any other number of injustices. But I hadn't even finished first year when I and perhaps any other first years with a dash of idealism left were thrown into this subject called law in context. It was a wake-up call for us all because it made the point that justice, yes, may be blind, but that blindness is not entirely neutral or fair. Lady Justice can be blind to the factors that compromise the law. Things like the subjectivity and bias of lawyers and judges, the ambiguity of written laws that allow exceptions to arise, the power of money, which buys rich people and companies access to the best legal advice and representation, rather than those who don't have financial resources, who end up getting lesser forms of justice. And we also face the gender bias of laws, mostly written by male legislators, enforced by male-dominated police or government agencies, and adjudicated by often largely male judiciary. As Charles Dickens put it in Oliver Twist, the law is an arse. Stubborn, based on unreasonable assumptions, and ultimately flawed. But injustice isn't just a legal issue. As a Christian minister, I know all too well that the church has a very troubled record of injustice. A few years ago, the Centre for Public Christianity released a documentary, which I commend to you, For the Love of God, How the Church is Better and Worse Than You Ever Imagined. From crusades to witch trials, inquisition to supporting slavery, at times in its history, the church has been complicit in injustice. Now, it's also been complicit in some magnificent and stunning cases of justice. But it makes the point that justice is elusive, even for followers of Jesus who claim to love it. So justice is elusive, but if we're going to find a true perspective of it, the most comprehensive and compelling explanation for why there is injustice in the world is not going to be found in a university sociology department or in a criminology textbook. The clearest diagnosis for what is going wrong in the world and in humanity is found in the Bible, because it reveals what God thinks about humanity and justice and injustice. And the Bible reveals unequivocally that God hates injustice and that God has compassion on all those suffering injustice. Many of the Old Testament prophets denounce God's people for failing to live up to God's laws and standards. And so, for example, there's Isaiah who says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow." God's justice looks like a concern for the most vulnerable in society. The books of the Bible in Hebrew are Torah, particularly the early five books, and there are over 600 commandments in them, which include the familiar things like don't commit murder or theft or adultery, but also so many detailed ways in which you can treat refugees with kindness and how to treat workers well, how to rest well, how to eat well, how to conduct commerce ethically, how to look after the poor, how to guard your marriage, how not to discriminate against disabled people. That's all the concern of the law, because biblical justice touches every area of life. Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet who shone a light on the hypocrisy of the society in his day. And he wrote, "Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight." God loves justice, and God himself is perfectly just. So that means if you care about justice and you want more justice in the world and in your life, the place to find it and understand it is in God's word. A Bible text that many people and organizations have taken as their guiding principle is Micah 6. "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." The God of the Bible is the source and defender of justice. And the Bible also diagnoses what's gone wrong. Injustice flourishes in the world because humanity is out of step with God. Gary Haugen, the founder of International Justice Mission, has decades of experience as an international human rights lawyer. He's seen the worst abuses possible and been involved in prosecution of offenders involved in genocide in Rwanda, corruption in the Philippines, child sex trafficking in virtually every continent of the globe. And what he observed about the dynamics of justice and injustice is that it boils down to how power is used and distributed. He says, "Injustice occurs when power is misused to take from others what God has given them, namely their life, dignity, liberty, or the fruits of their love and labor." And by contrast, justice flourishes when power is distributed and exercised in accordance with God's standards revealed in God's word, the Bible. Now, it's one thing to see and acknowledge the injustice in the wider world. It's another thing to overcome it. And the Bible helps us do both. the Bible helps us to acknowledge how bad a problem injustice is. It highlights the damage that we do to ourselves and our world through our collective's cruelty or selfishness or exploitation. But then the Bible shines a spotlight and it swivels and swivels and shines on us. See, the Bible writers lament that they too are culpable. "Woe is me," said the prophet Isaiah. "I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips." In plainer language, I'm unjust. My whole community is unjust. And in the passage that we read in Romans 3, it's preceded with a quote from Psalm 14, which indicts all of humanity for having turned away from God. And so then you get down to verse 23, which famously sums it up like this: "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We're all part of the problem. The injustice of the world is not just out there. It's in here. It's in my heart. It's in my mixed motives. It's in my greed, in my fear, in my failure to love. And what's worse, my best efforts to improve myself, to justify myself, will never fully succeed. Verse 20 of Romans 3 says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." So we're caught in what seems like a catch-22. We see injustice in the world and we know it shouldn't be like this. And we know God is just, and part of us longs for God's justice to prevail over human injustice. But then we realize if we were each judged according to God's perfect justice, well, in colloquial language, we'd be stuffed. Because injustice and sin, it infects me as much as anyone else. If you made a video clip of all your best and worst thoughts of the last week, how happy would you be for that clip to be shown on the screens right now? You see, none of us are perfect. All of us have these mixed motives and these undercurrents of unresolved sin in our life. And God solves this catch-22 by doing what no one expected. God paid the penalty for sin and injustice himself. God gave his own son to do what we couldn't do, to be perfectly just, to put to death injustice in his own person when Jesus died on the cross. And so Romans 3 says God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, that is, a means to restore our broken relationship with God through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, that is, his just character and just response to sin. Because in his forbearance, he'd left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God is both perfectly just, and he's able to make us, to make you and I stand justified, or just as if we'd never sinned for all eternity. That is the justice that the world most needs. And that is the justice that each one of us most needs. God's retributive justice demands that sins are punished. God's restorative justice longs for sinners to be relieved of the burden of their sin. And God's distributive justice is seen in how he lovingly shares Jesus' righteousness, that is, Jesus' just life, with each one of us who lack perfect justice and righteousness of our own. So if you want to find justice, look to the cross. If you want to be just, come to Jesus, admit your sin, and receive God's forgiveness. Now, If we've received this gift of justice, this gift of being made right with God, not as something that we could work for or earn, but as an undeserved gift, that changes everything. And surely it motivates us to live more justly, to speak more justly and truthfully and lovingly and forgivingly, because God has been so just and true and loving and forgiving to us. We should share this gift with everyone we meet. And surely this gospel, this good news of justice, will motivate us then to challenge injustice in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our politics, in our economic systems, in our churches. The Bible has many pictures to describe the kind of justice God wants for his world. He wants to see justice flowing like a river, Amos 5. He wants justice to be like the good food nourishing his flock that have been rescued from negligent shepherds, Ezekiel 34. He wants justice to set people free from idolatry, Isaiah 1. And he wants justice to be like the song we sing to God as we act in justice and mercy. Christian pastor and author Tim Keller highlights the link between justice and shalom in the Bible. The world that God created is like this garment that God wears, consisting of the sea and the cloud and the sun and the stars. This garment is glorious, and it is woven of thousands of threads that all relate to each other. The people of the earth, the resources of the earth, are like threads that go under and over, in and out, the warp and woof of a beautiful tapestry. And when every thread of life, our physical, our emotional, our social, our spiritual dimensions, are rightly connected and supported and joined together with others, everything then is in perfect balance and at peace. And that is shalom. God's shalom is God's justice realized. When we receive God's gift of justification, and when we abandon our self-serving patterns of injustice and rejection of God's ways, God invites us then to be bringers of shalom, agents of justice in this world. How do we do that? Well, thinking of the image of life as a tapestry, Tim Keller says, to do justice means to go to places where the fabric of shalom has broken down, where the weaker members of societies are falling through the fabric, and to repair it. How can you repair the fabric of society? Well, you do that by weaving yourself into it. See, we're threads on the loom. But if we keep our money, our time, our power to ourselves, well, then the cloth never gets woven. We're just a bunch of individual strands of thread. But if we bring our personalities and our time, our goods, our skills, our experience, our dreams, our stories into relationship with the needs of others, well, then there we are repairing and reweaving the fabric of shalom with loving, merciful justice. So where is hope for justice? Here, in this church, you and I, we are hope for justice. We can be agents for justice by supporting those going through injustice. So let's celebrate and support relief and development work in Jesus' name. Let's do justice by helping people who are caught up in sinful systems or situations, whether that's human trafficking or domestic violence or workers being denied their wages or refugees about to be sent home to countries where they'll be imprisoned or killed because they've stood up against injustice. And when we support agencies like CMS or IJM or Tearfund or Interserve with their mission partners doing justice in Jesus' name all around the world, we're taking part in weaving shalom back into the world. And at the local level, as we participate with our friends in other Whitehorse churches, say at the community space at Forest Hill that Whitehorse Churches Care operates, or when we work to help people going through mental health struggles, or we work to find someone who's having a struggle with housing, or when we contribute to a food bank for those doing it tough, that's an expression of sharing justice in Jesus' name. And all of this works hand in hand with proclaiming the gospel of being justified by faith in Christ. Because all of us need God's mercy and all of us need God's justice. All of us need Jesus, the perfect embodiment of justice. And it's for his sake that we gather and that we sing and that we learn and that we act. Amen.